Today on Bold Steps with Mark Jobe, we're learning how to use our full potential for the Lord.
He has already shown us mercy, and so our service and gratitude and servitude and offering to Him is not to gain favor with God. It's because we have favor with God. There's a big difference.
Welcome to Bold Steps with Pastor Mark Jobe, Senior Pastor of New Life Community Church and President of Moody Bible Institute here in Chicago. I'm Wayne Shepherd. Well, we know everyone is uniquely and wonderfully made, and everyone has something to contribute and offer to God. So, Mark, let's talk about the concept that God calls us to something special.
Wayne, I talk to so many people that have this idea that there's the called ones and then just regular people.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's such a fallacy because everyone that's a follower of Jesus is called, first of all, to live for Him, but then called with some unique gifting.
I believe that too, yes.
And purposes. And so Romans chapter 12 really highlights that. Paul is telling us, hey, you are called. Now use your call. Step into it. I'm talking to someone today that you don't view yourself as a called person, but I want you to erase that image, and I want you to embrace you are a person with a purpose and a calling.
Maybe this is the very issue you've been thinking about in your own life. Let's listen to God's word now, stepping up to your calling.
I recently read that the shuttle Columbia made a discovery as a scientist took a new look at the earth from a different perspective. They studied the topography of the land, and they made an amazing discovery. They discovered that in the Sahara Desert, the Sahara Desert is part of northern Africa, right below Spain. And if you look at a map, what you'll see is just desert after desert after desert, just miles and miles of arid sand land. Nothing grows there. It's very dry. The people that live there are rugged and nomadic, and they are in desperate need of water. As the scientists studied the Earth from the Columbia Explorer, what they discovered through some of their new instruments of exploration, that there were 26 lakes underneath the Sahara Desert. It's heartbreaking to think that there are people that are starving and famished when what they need is right beneath them. 26 lakes that could provide water, but they have not yet learned how to tap into the resources that are right beneath them. That's a great picture, I think, of many of our lives. Many of our lives are lived in practical dryness, scarcity, barely surviving, not realizing that beneath, somewhere very close, there is an abundance of resources, that we have much more than what we know we have. Many people spend a good portion of their lives talking about what they don't have. Just listen into a conversation at a bus stop or an office water cooler conversation, and you'll hear a lot of talk about, I wish I had, I don't have enough, it would be nice to have what they have, one day maybe I will. A lot of conversation seems to revolve around what we lack. The emphasis of Scripture is not on what we don't have, but the emphasis that God gives is on what we do have. God will never hold you responsible for what you've never had. God will only hold you responsible for what you have and what you do with what you have. Here's what I know. I know that the great majority of us here have enough intelligence to get ahead. I know that most of us here have enough love to be able to share with our spouse and with our children. I know that most of us don't utilize the majority of our brain, that we underutilize our gifts, that we underestimate our body, that we underutilize our faith, that we do not develop our vision, that we don't use to the max our money and our finances. I know that the great majority of us here live well beneath our potential. And so today, as we look at Romans chapter 12, I'm going to talk to you about stepping up to understand what you have and to move from being a consumer that simply looks and says, I have need, to being a contributor to say, I have something to give. And the Apostle Paul, who wrote the book of Romans, was writing this letter to Rome, the believers that found themselves in the most powerful capital of the day, which was the city of Rome that was at the epicenter of the Roman Empire. He was writing to a church that was composed of people from all walks of life who had not discovered how much potential they had. And I'm going to begin reading in verse 1 of Romans chapter 12, and I'm going to ask that you simply stand for the reading of God's word. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith that God has given you. The word of the Lord, you may be seated. So today I want to talk to you about four steps to move you from consumer to significant contributor and understand the potential that every one of us has. The first thing I want you to know, as you sit there, and I sit in so many times in my life, I've just sat there underutilizing my potential. The first thing I want you to know from this passage is this. We start out using our full potential for God by offering your whole person as an act of worship to God. Notice what it says in verse 1. He says, therefore. Anytime you see the word therefore in Scripture, you need to ask yourself, what is it there for? Therefore means I'm building on a previous thought. Therefore means I've talked to you about something, and now building on what I've talked to you about, I'm going into the next thought. This is chapter 12. The Apostle Paul has 12 chapters he's building on. What has he been talking about in the last 12 chapters? He's been talking about how good God is. He's been talking about how people have been changed and justified and given gifts. So he's, therefore, I urge you, because all I've told you about God, I'm urging you now, brothers, in view of God's mercy. What Paul is telling them is this: God has been so good to you. Because God has been so good, because God has done so much, because God has given us so many opportunities, therefore, we need to look at serving Him back. We need to look at giving back to God because He has been so good to us. What has God done? What are His mercies? Well, if you look at the previous 12 chapters in Romans, he talks about justification. In other words, how all of us have sinned, and he made the way through Jesus to justify us before God. He talks about adoption in Jesus, that when we were slaves and on our own road, Jesus came and we've been adopted in God as sons and daughters of God. He talks about his grace instead of the law. We are no longer under the law that brings condemnation, but we're under grace, the favor of God. He talks about the gift of the indwelling Holy Spirit. You have been given God himself to dwell inside of you as an incredible gift. He talks about how he helps us in the middle of our trials and afflictions. He talks about how God has chosen us before we chose him. He talks about the certainty that Christ is coming back again. And he talks about in Romans chapter 8, the confidence that nothing or no one can separate us from this incredible love of God. So he's been talking to the believers about how much God has done. And he says, therefore, because God has done so much, because God has shown so much mercy, I challenge you to give back to God because he's given so much to us. Now, I want you to notice, he does not say, I want you to give to God so that God will be good to you. He says God has already been good to you. And because God has been good to you, we are using our gifts to serve him, not to earn credit before God, but because God has already given us credit. Do you understand the difference? Many people spend their entire lives trying to gain God's favor, feeling like if they do good works, walk a little old lady across the street, give to charity, once in a while listen to Christian music on the radio, throw a couple quarters into the Salvation Army can, serve for some volunteer and some non-for-profit organization. They think, well, maybe if I do enough, God will look at me and have mercy. What Paul is saying is, no, God, out of his own generosity, out of his own goodness, out of his own heart, out of his own love, he's already shown us mercy. We didn't earn it, we didn't deserve it, we didn't merit it, we didn't gain favor. He has already shown us mercy. And so our service and gratitude and servitude and offering to him is not to gain favor with God. It's because we have favor with God. We serve him because he's first loved us. We give back to him not to gain favor, but because we already have favor. There's a big difference.
You're listening to Pastor Mark Jobe. This is Bold Steps. We'll continue in a moment, but Mark, in a couple of weeks, our Moody students and faculty will be making their way back to our campus to start the fall semester, and things will be back to normal once again. Looking forward to that, aren't we?
We are. And yet, you're right, Wayne. We are ramping up even as we speak right now. The first week of August or so is orientation for our new students. And that's August 11th. And if you're listening right now, so I want to encourage you, if you haven't checked out Moody, we have our Chicago campus, but we also have online courses. And I believe there's a registration, last day of registration for 8-week and 16-week self-paced online courses is August 10th. So you still have time to sign up.
Good. All right.
And definitely check out the Chicago campus.
Perhaps the best perspective comes directly from our students. Let's listen to this.
I came to Moody because I felt very called to serve kids, especially kids who have experienced trauma, and to help them in their relationship with Christ, and I wanted to gain proper knowledge to do that effectively.
Being able to sit and learn under professors who are extremely smart and knowledgeable and can teach you some deep truths of the Bible, they're not just teaching to pervade knowledge, but they're teaching to guide you to grow closer to God.
So I want to go in the mission field, but I wanted a degree that I could also use in the States, like in the corporate world if needed. And I love that at Moody, students are equipped and very focused on ministry. And so it's not just like a Christian university, but it's a Bible college. And so I love that everyone's a double major studying biblical studies as well as another career path.
I think it's the diversity of just the body of Christ coming together from all different backgrounds, different denominations, different theological beliefs and doctrines, and like we receive such a beautiful education that you really just can't get anywhere else, that's so biblically sound, but it also encourages you to dig deeper and refine what you believe in your faith.
I chose to come to Moody because I couldn't see myself doing anything besides ministry and serving the Lord for the rest of my life, and I knew that Moody could equip me to do that.
That's why I'm so excited about this place.
I see why. Great young people.
All I have to do is hang out with some of these students for a while, and I am pumped up because just the excitement, the energy, the desire to learn, it's a very special place. And you may be wondering, hey, how can I find out more about Moody? Mm-hmm. Or you may have someone that's graduated from high school or looking, what's their next step? And Wayne, anybody can find out. The best place to go would be?
Very easy. Just go to boldstepsradio.org and click on Learn About Moody Bible Institute. And I pray that you will follow up on that. boldstepsradio.org, Learn About Moody Bible Institute. Thank you, Mark. But let's get back into your message now, all about God's calling.
So he says, in view of God's mercy, I challenge you to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This idea of offering our bodies as a living sacrifice, the Jewish people understood what a sacrifice was because in the Old Testament, and even during the times of Jesus, when people approached God in the Jewish temple, they would have to offer an animal sacrifice. They would kill a lamb or slaughter a dove, and they would offer it on a sacrifice and burn it before God. And it was their way of interceding for their sins. It was their way of making a live offering for their sins. In those cases, there would be a rock altar, the blood would be splattered on the altar, and the animal would be killed, of course. Paul is using a different imagery. He's using the imagery of an altar, but he's saying, I don't want a dead sacrifice, I want a living sacrifice. I want you to visually place yourself on that altar and say to God, I'm not offering a pigeon or a lamb because we don't do that anymore. That was Old Testament. We're in New Testament. But now we are offering ourselves before God and we're saying, God, I belong to you. And I'm going to live my life as though I'm consecrated to you, as though I'm a living sacrifice unto you. And who I am and what I am, I belong to you, God, now. Paul says, offer your bodies. In other words, your whole person, that's fill in the blank, offer your whole person as a living sacrifice unto God. Notice what he says. A living sacrifice that is holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Some people think that they go to a Sunday service to worship. Maybe you've used that expression, I'm going to a worship service. Sometimes even in church bulletins, they'll say worship starts at 11. But really, if you understand worship, worship is not an activity you engage in. It's a lifestyle that you engage in. Worship is about how you live your life. Do you realize that it's not just coming into a service and having the songs going and raising your hands to God and saying how good you are, God? But do you realize that worship is any act of service you do to God. Anything that you dedicate to God is an act of worship. Do you know that you could be washing dishes as an act of worship? You're washing dishes and say, Lord, I do this unto you. That's an act of worship. You're offering whatever you're doing to God. Do you know that you can drive your car as an act of worship? I need to work on that one still. Do you know that your job, whatever you do for a living, that as you offer the way you do your job, if you do it with integrity, if you do it with the right attitude, if you do it with the right heart, that you are worshiping God through your job? And pretty much anything in life that you do, when you offer up to God and you do it for His honor and His glory, you are engaging in an act of worship. Worship, the word worship, is from an Anglo-Saxon word. We get our English word worship from an Anglo-Saxon word that means worth-ship. That you are giving someone worth and value. When I give God worth and value in what I do, I am giving Him my worship. So therefore, you don't engage in worship on a half hour while you're singing on Sunday morning. Hopefully, what Paul is saying is, I want you to see your whole life as an act of worship. When you get up in the morning, good morning, Lord. Let's do this day together. when you're making lunch for your sixth grader that's on his way, Lord, I pray for my son and I do this unto you. Whatever you do as an act of worship unto God. You offer it to God. So therefore, there's no dichotomy between the secular or the sacred. Some people make a big difference between the secular and the sacred. They think that praying is sacred, but hammering the nail at their work is secular. What God tells us and shows us is that praying is sacred, but if you hammer a nail and you're hammering and you're doing your job with an attitude of trying to please God and doing everything you do for the glory of God, that hammering that nail can be as sacred as praying a prayer because you're doing it for the glory of God. Are you tracking with me? This is really important. Some people have, they confuse, they think that certain things are holy and certain things are not holy. And I want to say that whatever you do in Jesus' name with an attitude towards God to please Him and offer it to God, you do it, it becomes holy. So your entire life becomes a living sacrifice of worship to God that doesn't just kick in when you enter into a building with a cross and a steeple on top, but that you are constantly engaging in worship, not just when you're singing, but whatever you're doing is an act of worship to God because you've chosen to offer it to God and to show that you're doing whatever you're doing for God. You'll notice that in verse 2, it says, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." The second step in utilizing your potential is you need to renew your mind so that you can understand your new purpose and your calling in life. Many of us don't understand our calling because the world is pressuring us to live a certain way and to act a certain way, and we've bought into their mold and we're peer pressured into what everybody else is doing without understanding that we have a unique call. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. That word conform is the word to fashion. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Many of us, we come to Christ, you've opened up your heart and you say, God, I want you to come in and change my life and turn me around. And you start off with that new energy to turn your life around. But somewhere in the process, you get stuck. You stop changing, or sometimes you can revert to old patterns. Why? Not because God isn't faithful, not because God isn't good, not because Christianity doesn't work. Your spirit has been changed. But something more than your spirit has to change. Your mind has to be renewed so that your life continues to be changed.
Well, tomorrow we'll hear the exciting conclusion to this message about reaching your full potential, so please join us then. This is Bold Steps with Pastor Mark Job. Have you ever really thought about how you can live out your true calling? That's what we've been talking about today, but if you're still a little fuzzy on the details, we'd love to send you a copy of our latest Bold Step gift. It's a book by Chuck Colson called Loving God, and here's Mark again to tell you a little more about it.
Jesus said the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, with all your mind and strength. And that's the topic of a book by Chuck Colson called Loving God. Obeying is God's love language. But sometimes we take a look at the path of obedience and then determine that it's inconvenient or maybe even too painful to walk. But as Chuck reminds us, no matter how things may look to us, following God will always bring us our highest fulfillment. And that's what we want for you. So give us a call today and ask for the copy of Chuck Colson's book, Loving God. And then before I turn things over to Wayne again, I'd like to say thank you to those of you who are partnering with us each month. Your gifts are making a difference in the lives of people all over the country, and we are so very grateful.
To send your gift and request the book, Loving God, in the mail, write to us at Bold Steps, 820 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. Now, if it's easier, maybe more convenient, you can call us. The number to call is 844-615-7363. or request the book online at boldstepsradio.org. Now, when you give a financial gift each month of $30 or more, we'll add your name to our growing list of Bold partners. And we'll also send you a signed copy of Mark's book, Unstuck, Out of Your Cave and Into Your Call, plus several other perks like the bi-weekly Bold Partner Post video email and 50% off any item in the Moody Publishers catalog. So thank you for your generous investment in the media ministry of Bold Steps. Be sure to sign up today when you visit boldstepsradio.org. That's all the time we have today. I'm Wayne Shepherd, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for the exciting conclusion of Mark's message, Stepping Up to Your Calling. Learn how to use your unique abilities to fulfill your highest calling, Wednesday on Bold Steps with Mark Job. Bold Steps is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.